Well, good evening. Welcome. Congratulations to Chiefs Nation on a big win out in San Francisco. Definitely took care of the 49ers tonight. Welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Belated, an abbreviated version of the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Thrilled to have you with us tonight here at your local liberal resistance headquarters. You know, where we like to do whatever we can to annoy liberals. Pleased to have you with us. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and Truth Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. Would love to hear from you. Don't forget to listen for my carry-on commentaries. That's a 60-second daily feature that you'll hear three times a day, Monday through Friday, right here on KNSS. Listen for those daily here on KNSS. Tonight, we've got a good show planned, at least for this hour. A.J. Rice, author of the new number one bestseller, The White Privilege Album, Bringing Racial Harmony to Very Fine People on Both Sides, will join us to explain why many are saying his new book is a vaccine for the woke mind virus. By the way, we'll be giving away three copies of the book here tonight. And we'll continue our 2024 candidate profiles with a conversation with Kyler Sweely. You may remember him. We had him on during the primary. His primary opponent didn't want to come on, and, you know, she might have paid off because he lost. Kyler won. Kyler is running in House District 102 out in Hutch against a Democrat incumbent. We'll have him on here at the bottom of the hour. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. Before we get to that, we're barely 2 weeks out now from the November election. And I wanted to bring something to your attention that's a little nerve-wracking, should be disturbing to you. It's recent data that comes to us from pollster George Barna. Barna is a evangelical pollster, does particularly in tune with the Christian community, the evangelical community in America. And he is warning that as many as 41 million born-again Christians and 32 million mainline Christians are not planning to vote this November. Now, of all potential voters likely to skip the polls, 68% said that they lack interest in politics, and 55% said none of the contenders represent their key values. But looking at the choices before them, how can people of faith believe that Kamala Harris shares their core values? Now, granted, I get it. You may not be happy with Donald Trump. He's, you know, he's got mean tweets and all. Maybe Ron DeSantis was your guy. But seriously, folks, Kamala Harris? Millions of Americans have awakened to the pervasive depravity within American society. Corrupt politicians, dishonest journalists, broken social institutions, immoral religious leaders, and unconstitutional government programs have dominated headlines, underscoring the nation's moral decline and the perceived demise of the United States. I can relate to the concern of my fellow evangelical voters when faced with these headlines, but now is not the time to give up. Amidst this backdrop, a crucial question emerges, and that is, how did America stray so far, so quickly, from its historical Judeo-Christian values? And why are so many of them reluctant to participate in our democratic process? While 67% of evangelicals typically vote, only one-third reported being very likely to vote in the 2024 general election. And nothing will change if we don't vote, folks. If you don't like the current course of public affairs in America, only way to change that is to vote. If you don't like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's policies, vote them out. And frankly, churches are not doing enough to ensure that faith-based voters make their voices heard in the 2024 presidential election. 6.9 million evangelical voters residing in six key swing states did not vote in the 2020 presidential election. And those same six swing states may very well decide the election this year. In Arizona, for example, in 2020, 730,000 evangelicals did not vote in the 2020 presidential election, and Joe Biden won Arizona by 10,000 votes. 730,000 evangelicals didn't vote. Joe Biden won by 10,000 votes. During the previous presidential election, 2020, an estimated 25 million churchgoers reportedly did not make it to the polls. 25 million. The number of evangelicals who did not vote in 2020 exceeded Joe Biden's margin of victory in five of those key swing states that Biden won. If 84% of them would have voted for Trump, and they likely would have, there's no way to assume, there's no reason to assume they wouldn't have, those evangelicals would have swung the outcome of the 2020 election had they voted. So don't tell me you don't think your vote matters, because I'm giving you the data right here that says, get off your ass and go vote. Can we afford to have this happen again on November 5th? Can you imagine waking up on November 6th and seeing that Kamala Harris is our next president? That Democrats control the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House? That Kansas Republicans have lost their supermajorities? If you're an evangelical and you're even thinking about not voting, you're betraying your values. And unfortunately, it could happen. Opinion polls are tight, and there are races, even here in Kansas, that could go either way. But an active Christian electorate can shape policies that protect religious freedoms, family values, and the sanctity of life. Which is why it is so important that evangelicals, that Christians, get out and vote and take your friends with you, take your family with you, take your church with you. Proselytize in the pews. Make sure the people you go to church with are going to go vote with you. That nightmare scenario that I just described, waking up to find Harris is our next president, there's a way we can prevent that, and you can help make sure that nightmare scenario doesn't come true. Because in today's complex and often challenging political landscape, the voice of Christian conservatives is more crucial than ever. But this is not merely about winning an election. It's about instilling a legacy of biblical values and responsible voting habits in both current and future generations. Folks, let's be honest. Again, you may not be happy with your presidential choices. I know I'm certainly not happy with the Democrat side. And you may not be happy with the choice on the Republican side of the aisle. But we cannot expect President Trump to have a more Christian ethos if the church refuses to vote. We cannot expect President Trump to be more pro-life if our own people don't back him up at the ballot box. The local church must be activated and do the right thing on November 5th. And it's up to you to ensure that that happens. We'll be back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS here in just a minute. When we do, we're going to be joined by my good friend, A.J. Rice. He is a best-selling author of the new book, The White Privilege Album, Bringing Racial Harmony to Very Fine People. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country. Folks get to join together and phone into key federal races all across the U.S. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Central and phone for freedom. Phone into these states where these Senate races are so key, so essential for us to win a majority. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on Twitter or X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. You already know this, but we live in deeply stuffy, oppressive times. You can get canceled for saying the wrong thing, like, for example, my monologue, not saying the right thing, or even looking at someone or using someone's incorrect pronouns. The digital gulag awaits us all, it seems. A hunger for thus imprisoning one's fellow man is what the woke mind virus instills in its victims. Into this climate of fear and loathing comes A.J. Rice with his new book, The White Privilege Album, Bringing Racial Harmony to Very Fine People on Both Sides. Rice is America's publicist and the undisputed goat of conservative public relations. He's a columnist, humorist, and impresario. A.J., thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, brother.
That's right. Brother Johnny, great to be here. Big shout out to the very fine people in this audience. You know who you are.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate. By the way, thank you. Some of my best guests, folks don't know this, but some of my best guests come through your company, Publius. In fact, we've got Dinesh D'Souza coming on the show soon. That came through right. You guys. So I love you guys. You are arguably right. The source of some of my best guests ever. So
well,
thank you.
We like to think of ourselves as the center of the MAGA cinematic universe here at Publius PR.
I would agree right. with that. I like that analogy.
I saw a photo you floating around yesterday that Don Jr. sent out, who's our client. Don Jr. is, and I'm like, I'm looking at this photo, and there's six faces on this photo. Or no, was it eight faces? I don't know, six. I think it was eight faces. But anyway, on the photo was Trump, Vance, Tulsi, RFK Jr., Elon, and Vivek. And I'm like, I know it's six. And I'm like, you know, four of these faces are our client. So I'm like, wow. I think maybe I should talk about that more.
Yes, you should talk about that more. And by the way, I've yet to have any of those people on this show. I've had Mike Pence, and we've had Tucker Carlson.
Tulsi and Vivek haven't been on the show?
They have not. And we've had,
we'll have to work on that.
We had Vivek's, his pack on the show multiple times during the campaign. They were great, okay. By the way. I loved having his pack on because you know what? They were fun and they unabashedly honest about their positions, which is what I love about him. So sure. Yes, I would love to have any. And I got to meet both Don, Jr. and former President Trump a couple years ago during our gubernatorial campaign. They're great folks, but yeah,
well,
I mean, love
look,
you guys.
That's your new Avengers lineup right there. I mean, who do you, ladies and gentlemen, who do you want to roll with? You want to roll
yes.
with them? You want to roll with Elon and Tulsi and Vivek and Vance and Trump and RFK Jr. Or do you want to roll with Kamala
and
you know, silly goose, Tim Walz? And the Cheneys.
Oh, come on. Come on, AJ. Let's be honest with you. Tim Walz looks awful good with a shotgun. I mean, come on. He's an impressive
right.
guy. He sure can handle
loading,
a shotgun.
He was loading that shotgun with a Playtex, I think. I don't know what was that. I saw he had his pinky up when he was loading that gun.
So,
Dr. Evil.
Yeah, I mean, he did. They are awfully laughable. I mean, you watch and Liz Cheney. They love dragging her around. They don't bother to point out she lost her reelection by 40 some points. It's like 50% of the state kicked her ass out. But no, we're going to bring her around. Tell everybody Republicans love her.
Well, I mean, Tim Walz and Kamala's husband. They're the new faces of masculinity.
Yeah.
So.
Let me ask you.
They look like Gary Cooper and John Wayne, right?
Let me ask you about that because they are doing that. Walz is now being cautiously sent out by the campaign. In fact, I saw you were on the Ingram angle recently to discuss this. And you know, Walz is being cautiously, he's brought around in limited public appearances, primarily targeting white men through football-themed interviews.
Does the Harris campaign actually think that Tim Walz is going to appeal to the average Joe lunch pail?
I mean, you know, he's out there. He's dressed like Elmer Fudd. He's on what I call the testosterone deficiency tour. I mean, I don't see it happening. I mean, I don't know what he coached. I saw Strahan kissing the ring. You don't give him an interview. You know, and I'm an Eagles fan, so Strahan, the Giants player, he can have him.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, I will tell you, it's amazing that they fire him out there like he's now the ambassador to white hetero America, I guess. And that is just how kooky they see things. They right. filter everything through identity. And then they put out that goofy commercial with all these, you know, what look like, you know, suspect men
right.
sitting on a bench in the gym. And when I first saw it, I swear, John, I'm not even joking, I thought it was the trailer to Brokeback Mountain 2. I thought it was. I thought I saw Jake. I know Heath Ledger's not with us.
Right.
I thought I saw Jake Gyllenhaal in that trailer.
Well, and the other thing that I found amusing is you've seen the other ads in Pennsylvania where they're touting out these quote-unquote Republicans who are now voting for Harris, but they turn out to not be Republicans and not even be authentic. They're Democrats, actors hired to play Republicans.
That's right. Look, the whole thing is a grift, and they know it. The mask is off. They cannot defend their policies. They cannot defend her personality. Is it possible that she's less likable than Hillary Clinton?
Yes.
With Nurse Ratched?
Yes.
I mean, who do we have to line up here? Norman Bates' mother? I mean, who's she more likable than? I can't track it.
Well,
but John, if you look at the numbers, I mean, she is underwater.
Oh,
in
I know.
Michigan with Muslims, Jewish voters in Pennsylvania, Latin voters in the Southwest. No one seems to be buying it.
There's a reason she didn't get, she dropped out first in the primary 4 years ago, and they had to do a coup to get her on the ballot this time. The woman is not electable. Trust
sure.
me. I mean, it's. Yeah, I think it's ironic. It's they had to, they went with her.
History repeating itself.
Right.
She was, look, Barack Obama took Joe off the trash heap too. I mean, he was out before January of 2008. And Kamala was out too. So now, but at least Joe, I mean, thanks to Jim Clyburn, he won some primaries. But it's weird. They have engineered three nominees in a row.
Right.
With Hillary, she was in a dogfight with Bernie, and they rigged that at the convention with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And we know this because Donna Brazile put it in her book with the superdelegates. They basically kept Bernie's people from storming the stage. So they gave it to Hillary. 4 years later, because of COVID, they put the corpse in the basement. They get the extension cord out. They plug him in, and he doesn't have to campaign. And they just sort of rigged that and told everyone to get out. After South Carolina, everyone just started dropping out. Right?
Yeah.
Except Bernie. He hung around a little bit longer. Elizabeth Warren did a little bit longer. And now this time, they do the three-card Monty with the candidates, and you know, she gets to be the accidental nominee without winning anything. So, I mean, this is what they've done with the three election cycles since Obama beat Mitt Romney.
Right.
So just remember that. This is not ancient history. This is, you know, three cycles in a row. They're screwing around with the electorate.
And the laughable hypocrisy in all of this is they're the ones running around the country saying that Republicans are the threat to democracy. I love the unmitigated gall that they're the ones that say we're the ones who are a threat to democracy. We're talking with best-selling author A.J. Rice. A.J., I want to ask you about a little bit about the book. By the way, the book is called The White Privilege Album, Bringing Racial Harmony to Very Fine People on Both Sides. On your website, in describing your book, you say that, and I love this, because it's so true, and yet it's the kind of things that you say and will just absolutely drive the left insane. But you say white privilege gave us Western civilization, the middle class, and the nuclear family. You're welcome. You don't That's mince right. words. Tell us what you really think.
Well, I mean, when you've seen sort of the rise of wokeism, which is really cultural Marxism,
right,
over the last decade, and that you hear them screaming about the patriarchy or white privilege, obviously, and other things too. And you've got cancel culture involved, the social justice warriors. They're screaming about the patriarchy. What they're really talking about is Western civilization, Greco-Roman, Judeo-Christian civilization, and how they don't like it. They didn't stop with the Civil War generals. They've gone after Columbus and Churchill and the Queen of England and George Washington and Patton and Reagan and everyone else, right? So they've tried to rename everything. They tried to bulldoze everything. They've burrowed into, you know, the board at Monticello and Montpelier here in Virginia to try to undo Madison and Jefferson. They are trying to undo Western civ because they don't like it. They do not like it. And as far as the middle class goes, again, all economic Marxists have been trying to destroy that for years. They knew they couldn't get it done because we have a middle class here. And the only time Marxism really thrives is when you don't. You have like peasants that rise up. So that's why you have to flood the zone with unchecked migration. That's why you have to hit the middle class with the Green New Deal and inflation and interest rates off the charts, because you have to break us. You have to break us so that we all get into the bread lines and wait for Tim Walz to feed us from his hunting trip, right?
Right.
So, and then the third thing, the nuclear family. I mean, look, Black Lives Matter put on their website that it was a construct of white privilege. You know, it was right next to their love letter to Hamas. And they hate that. They hate it because they don't like breeders, obviously. They think it's some kind of passé, old-fashioned thing. But the reality is, 100 years ago, there were more nuclear families than there are now. So they would like the father removed from the home. They would replace it with Tim Walz. No, I'm joking. With the government.
Right.
So they don't like these things. And I am pushing back on it because we don't have a multicultural country. We have a multi-ethnic country. We have one culture here. And not all cultures are created equal. Right? And what I'm trying to say to most people is, you can come to this country, regardless of color, if you come here legally, and you can participate in the nuclear family and the middle class and Western civ and be part of the great experiment. But you have to, you know, but you have to do it legally. And that's not to say we're not a melting pot. But like I tell people, we can do two things at the same time. We can have sushi and Cinco de Mayo and yoga and, you know, Guinnesses on St. Patrick's Day and not throw out the Bill of Rights and the Magna Carta.
Right.
So, the book is a funny defense of Western civilization. There is racial harmony in the book. I tell a lot of sports stories about Jim Brown and Michael Jordan and Aaron Judge to try to bring people together, Jackie Robinson and so on. But it's 12 chapters. The first chapter is January and the last chapter is December. And I go through the 12 months of privilege.
You know, what's sad about this, and you articulate it so well, and I've read snippets of the book already, but you articulate it so well. They are focused so much, the left and the folks who push this radical ideology are focused so much on identity politics. And the sad part is one of the key areas that I think that they are using to push this is schools. And they're just indoctrinating it seems like, keep in mind, our public schools, our government schools are funded through our tax dollars, and they're indoctrinating our kids with ESG and DEI and all this transgender nonsense. And meanwhile, they're telling children that every generation before them were racist.
Right. But this is how you undo Western civilization.
Right. Right.
I mean, this is how you do it. You don't need to just, I mean, you can bulldoze, you know, statues, but, you know, that's how you undo it. You basically paint, you know, everything that came from the West as some sort of patriarchal, racist, original sin.
Right.
And that's so you could recreate us in a bleak image of the left. It's so what can become unburdened by what has been.
Gee, where have I heard that before?
Well, for as goofy as it sounds coming out of her mouth, it actually is a stone cold old school Marxist statement right out of Lenin and Mao. They want to reset you. They want to wipe the blackboard clean. Western civ, the nuclear family, the middle class, they all have to go. They're going to reset your church. They're going to reset your diet. They're going to reset your politics and your culture, and you're going to like every minute of it.
Yeah, or else. Again, if folks are interested, the book is called The White Privilege Album. It's available at whiteprivilegealbum.com. And your website is publiuspr.com. And on X, you are publiuspr. And I, of course, you know, I follow you. You guys are awesome, especially because some of my best guests come from you guys. But I love you guys. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you, sir. You got an audience of patriots. Let's keep fighting, people. Let's get out there.
Well, and just a reminder, we've got three copies of the book. I had to keep one. We've got three copies of the book. We're going to give those away during the break. So to the first three callers, AJ, thank you again for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Johnny.
Appreciate you, brother. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll continue our 2024 candidate profiles with a conversation with Kyler Sweeley, candidate for Kansas House District 102. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Don't forget, if you ever miss an episode, you can always find links to our podcasts of previous episodes. Just visit knssradio.com. You can download single hours, individual segments, find everything you need there. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook through social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We've given away one copy of the book so far. Two more still available. Give us a call, 831-6869-1330. In the meantime, every election cycle, we try and bring you as many candidates for office as possible. We're only 2 weeks away. I'm going to try and cram in as many as I can here in the next 2 weeks. Back in the primary, we talked with Kyler Sweeley. He won his primary election. He's now the Republican candidate for Kansas House District 102. The seat is currently held by Liberal Democrat Representative Jason Probst. Kyler, thank you for joining us this evening. It's nice to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
Congrats on the primary win, brother. How's the general campaign going?
You know, it's been just as busy as the primary. We pretty much moved right from the primary into the general and just continue knocking doors and campaigning as much as we can.
You know, I remember yours was a pretty contentious primary. You guys were fighting it out. I'm glad to hear that folks are Republicans and independents and folks undecided are uniting against you behind you, rather. It's nice to hear that folks have kind of come together and recognized how important it is to beat Probst. I mean, Probst, I didn't have the opportunity much to get to know him, but I know of him and I know his voting record, and he's typical of these Democrats that, you know, run as moderates, but if you look at their voting record, it's he voted against the main tax cut bills, he voted for all the, you know, against all the transgender stuff. He basically, Laura Kelly calls, it's a jump, and he says how high. And that's not what representative, that's not someone who would represent that district.
No, yeah, and I couldn't agree more. It's the middle of the ground candidate seems to do well in Kansas, and as you know, a lot of people don't keep track of voting records when people actually go to Topeka. So it is unfortunate that that's how it works, but I think that we've opened a lot of people's eyes, and I think we're getting a lot of support. So
that's, and you're right. I think that's the sad part. I noticed it when I was in the legislature. We had a lot, and particularly when I was there, we had a lot of Republicans that were voting with the Democrats. And then, you know, when they'd come up for reelection, they'd go back home and they'd send mailers out saying that they were fiscal conservatives and run to the right. And if you didn't bother to look at their voting records and see they were voting with the Democrats all the time, you wouldn't know any better. And I think that's the same thing that's going on in District 102. I think, you know, Jason Probst likes to call himself a moderate, likes to say he reaches across the aisle. But I have seen, and I've had conversations with him, he's as far left as everybody, as the rest of the Democrat Party up there. And he will fall in line when Laura Kelly calls. But that's not the way he's marketing himself to voters.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree. Like I said, the first time that we spoke, I mean, it's pretty clear that he's indebted to the Democratic Party and,
right,
you know, ultimately boss that sits in the governor's seat. So it's unfortunate that, you know, people are elected to be a representative of what their constituents' thoughts are and their beliefs, and it shows that it's just being taken advantage of, I believe. So
how is Donald Trump playing in your election and in the district at a larger scale?
So yeah, in 2020, Donald Trump won by almost 15 points. I believe it's 14.8 in the House district alone.
So yeah, again, this illustrates that this is not a Jason Probst district.
Yeah, so it's so volatile, though, in the fact that, you know, 2 years later, Governor Kelly did end up winning that House district. Obviously, Reno County, you know, way more conservative, but this House district is a little bit more volatile, just how moderate sometimes it is. But, you know, if I think it just comes down to solely if the Trump voters get out, you know, those unaffiliated and those conservatives that get out that, you know, have seen what this administration in D.C. have done, and, you know, they speak up and get their vote cast. I think it's going to be good for, you know, us in the State House. So,
well, and I also think a lot of it has to do with the candidate. I think, you know, I know who ran on the Republican side 2 years ago, and that was, well, let's be generous and say, a flawed candidate. And that has a lot to do. It's hard taking out an incumbent. Incumbent, there's a lot of benefits to being an incumbent. They can raise money. I guarantee you, Jason Probst has outspent you. And so it's hard to take out an incumbent. You can't be a flawed candidate. This time around, I think the Republican Party's got a good candidate in you, and you've got a good presidential candidate to hopefully, you know, help lift that ballot. So I think all of it should tee up nicely for a Republican this time around. We're talking with Kyler Sweely, candidate for Kansas House District 102. What are you hearing from voters? What's the biggest issue facing voters in the 102nd?
You know, I think it comes down to the, you know, same thing all over the state is taxes are too high, and obviously the property tax. I mean, if I went to 10 doors, I bet 8 of them tell me about property tax, and Reno County has a pretty high property tax compared to the rest of the state. And it doesn't seem to be going down at all. It just continues to be, you know, slowly growing at a normal rate. And pretty much people seem pretty fed up with the current administration in D.C. And they feel underrepresented at the state level that they haven't had the tax breaks when my opponent is solely campaigning on all these tax cuts and tax breaks that he's given the state and his district, which no one's going to feel.
The tax cuts and tax breaks that the Republicans provide, I mean, that, you know, he's taking credit for, it takes someone else's work, let's be honest.
Yeah, and this is exactly what's going to come up, you know. He's going to vote whatever way, and the governor's going to veto, you know, 7 tax bills, I believe it is. But then ultimately, when it comes down, when there's a real Republican candidate there, that someone's actually working hard, you know, he's going to take credit for what the legislature did. And, you know, he's been calling out Republicans, the big bad Republicans have, you know, done everything wrong and they haven't done anything right. But, you know, he's campaigning basically off of what the Republicans do in the House.
So of course he did. I want to give Phil a break here. The phones have been ringing. We have now given away all 3 of the books. So thank you for calling. But there are 4 people online who now Phil has to disappoint. So, Kyler, I understand the two of you that Jason finally did a debate recently. It was just last week. How did that go? How was that? How was the performance? What's your takeaways from it?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty, you know, similar to how most debates go. Each side kind of has their supporters already there, and it's not a lot of people that are undecided. So whatever I say, my supporters are cheering, and whatever he says, his supporters cheer, and they just try to drown each other out. So, you know, I think we did really well. I don't think he was expecting to actually be called out in public on some of these votes that he's taken.
Good.
You know, some of these. In the last week or two, he's been talking about this flat tax that Republicans have done, you know, and I've never been in office. I've never taken a vote, but he talks about this big, bad flat tax. And, you know, in 2023, Jason Probst voted for a flat tax. And, you know, whenever you call him out about something like this, he'll just stay real quiet and then just go back. You know, the Republicans are outspending in this race, or they're helping him so much. You know, it's just obviously made up stuff. In 2020, he outspent his opponent, I believe, $56,000 to $4,000, something $4,500. And then in 22, he spent $60,000 to his opponent's $3,500, and now he'll outspend me. I mean, 10 or 12 to 1, I would say.
Oh, I guarantee. I
don't know how much he's going to spend, but I mean, how much he has in the account, I'd expect it'd be more than 10 times. So.
And I also guarantee you that Laura Kelly's, quote, middle of the road pack is going to spend on his behalf against you as well. So for him to try and pretend like Republicans are outspending is a joke. I mean, it's laughable.
It's just, you know, he always plays victim about everything. And the middle of the road pack, I assume, will come into play because they endorsed him. But
right.
Also, they endorse Democrats in the state, so it's kind of ironic, I would say.
Yeah, well, for the middle of the road pack, they didn't endorse a single Republican, so that should answer that here. This is one thing voters just have to understand, and I emphasized it in my monologue. We have to maintain our supermajorities in both chambers. This is a major opportunity to swing a blue seat. So folks who live in the 102nd district, this is a major opportunity. We have to get behind you, Kyler. Folks out in Reno County have to get behind you. They have to unite. And more importantly, they have to get out and vote. Obviously, top of the ticket down. But this is a very important race, and we need to make sure we're supporting you. If folks want more information, if they want to volunteer, if they want to throw out a yard sign, or if they want to donate, they can visit Kyler Sweely, and that's KYLERSWEELY.com, correct?
Yes, sir. And I have a Facebook that is, you know, pretty active. My email, my cell phone number is very public. It's not some campaign phone that I just pick up whenever I want. It's my actual cell phone. So,
brother, I appreciate you. I wish you the best of luck. I'm hoping that that this is one of those seats that we can swing blue to red, and I wish you the best of luck. Carry on the fight, my friend.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open. I want to hear from you. The lines are open. 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And listen to this. We come back, I'm going to tell you a little bit. Yeah, you're going to love this. So when you come back, I'm going to tell you about Marvel Comics' latest assault on normalcy and traditional values. And, of course, we're taking your calls, 316-869-1330. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Great way to get involved, get activated, and make a difference, particularly in this election cycle. AmericansForProsperity.org. And while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Okay, so we know Marvel Comics. Marvel Comics are the books and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's the MCU movies. And while fans are rejecting the woke garbage in the movies and streaming on Disney Plus, the bozos that run Marvel Comics continue to ruin the characters and, by and large, the content, just as they have for the last 10 or 12 years. The latest, I don't know, Phil, if you've heard this, you know who Hawkeye is.
Hawkeye, I do.
Okay, Hawkeye.
Jeremy Renner
in the movies.
In the movies, yes.
Okay, he's a guy in a purple with the bow. Mm-hmm. Okay, for those of you, if you're not familiar, Hawkeye is a normal human fight with high strength and dexterity, very skilled with a bow, but he's not superpowered. Okay, just a really good archer. All right. So the latest that Marvel Comics is replacing Hawkeye, who is a white male, just so you know. So that's part of the reason they're replacing him, is because he's white and he's male, with a woke non-binary Indian character. And I mean Native American, when you say Indian. So the new character is Charlie, C-H-R-L-I, spelled Charlie, I-L-I, Ramsey, of the new Marvel Ultimate Universe. Charlie is non-binary and identifies as two-spirit with they, them pronouns. So it is not a male or female. It's two-spirit, whatever two-spirit. That's one of the 92, I guess, genders that are out there. Okay. Two-spirit is one of the genders that you can choose, apparently. They haven't figured out there were only two genders yet. So this nonsense, keep in mind, is nothing new.
For those of you who weren't aware, Superman's son is now bisexual in the DC universe. So is Batman's sidekick Robin. So DC's in this game too. Lots of other superheroes recently created or altered by Marvel and DC comics have done this as well. So DC is in on this whole gender twerking stuff as well. The author of the bisexual Superman story says gay people write the writer all the time and they burst into tears when they say the character has become gay. So that's why she's justifying the gay Superman. And don't get me wrong. I mean, while it's nice to make LGBT people feel more welcome, I guess for me, these changes are coming out of nowhere. And I don't know what your take on this is, but.
Well, to me, it's a knee-jerk reaction, and that's what I see it as.
You're pandering. It's forced. It's mm-hmm. it's pandering, and I get. Look, I mean, I get that you want these. You want folks LGBTQ plus IA ABCD XYZ whatever the alphabet to feel included, but. Just because you want them to feel included by identifying with this character doesn't mean you make that character what they are. I mean, I want to feel included too, and I love Batman, but I'm not an armor-clad crime-fighting billionaire. So, you know, I can want to be Batman. It doesn't make me Batman. And you don't have to share the same traits as a superhero to enjoy the character.
Color me the conspiratist. Hold on for just a second.
Okay.
So they're trying to add this into our mindset now. They're trying to, and to me, this is the word, the conspiracy, if you want to look at it that way. They're starting this inclusion to make it normal.
There you go.
As we progress along and as we accept it a little bit more and more, it then becomes part of the mindset where it's normal for us now. And then that's when there is some pushback against it from someone, the minority,
right,
that pushes back against it, then they're assaulted with, well, you're racist, or you are this, you are that. And
I know. And I think you're right. No, they're normalizing. And again, yes. Look, if you want to be gay, be gay. Mm-hmm. I've said before, if you want to choose that lifestyle, you can choose that lifestyle. I don't care. But don't try and force it. Why are we having to change? I mean, for example, there's a new Batman who's black. Fine. I mean, if that's what you want to do, do that. There's a new Spider-Man-like character, except she's a lesbian who uses a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but okay. Iron Man, in one derivation of the Marvel comics, is now a black teenage girl, which, again, is fine. But why don't you just create new characters? Why are we cannibalizing these existing iconic characters just to pander to?
Because mm-hmm. And that's what it is. It's
right,
pandering.
Pandering. Mm-hmm. And there's long been gay comic superheroes. I had to do the research on this, but apparently there was back in the 60s, they came out with a character called North Star that was gay.
Okay.
Okay, so why don't you identify with that character? But this, what's new and dumb is that DC and Marvel are changing the identity of established characters instead of just creating new ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, I guess I don't understand why you feel the need to pervert, for lack of a better, the current establishment in order to accommodate this fringe minority.
And I think it's just to get us, work us as a society towards this being part of the norm.
Yeah, well, they're trying to force it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the other thing they're doing is many of these comic book writers, I think, are trying to turn comics into social commentary. For example, instead of just saving lives, today's comic superheroes lead protests. In a recent cover of Superman, the comic shows Superman's son leading a school strike for climate change. So, I mean, Superman with all his powers, now he's holding protest signs. I mean, this is, you see what I mean? It's like, come on. I mean, why don't they just come out and make a new comic called Liberal Man? You know, he's got weak wrists and wears.
Careful.
You know,
you're going to give them some ideas and they're going to run away with it.
He wears a pink knit hat and he's an idiot. I don't know. Come back. Join us next Sunday. We'll be on immediately following the Chiefs postgame show. And coming up on the third, Dinesh D'Souza will be back next Sunday.